chapter number 14. This is our New Testament book that we've been studying through together, and we've come to this passage of Scripture. We've preached down through verse number 6, and we're starting again our study in verse number 7. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching down through verse 14, John chapter 14, verses 7 through 14. The Word of God says this, as the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He said, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us," it satisfies us. Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" And let me just pause here before I read on and say we are treading in deep, deep water, my friend. Verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." What a great passage of Scripture. I want to bring out something the Lord said twice in verse number 11. It's the title of my message tonight. It's the phrase he said twice, "Believe me." Believe me. You know, it's a great thing to be able to believe whatever Jesus says. And here he says, "Believe me. Believe me." And I want to preach to you on those two words, "Believe me." And the "me" here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that there is coming a day where there's no more pain, no more heartache, no more suffering, no more death. And I pray that you help us to keep our eyes upon you as the Lord Jesus Christ. Help our goal to be God. And may we realize that there's a great day coming. Speak to our hearts tonight through the Word of God. Thank you for how you minister to me in my study in this passage. And I pray that you'll minister through me to these precious people. Thank you for them coming out on a Sunday evening. Make it worth their time by speaking to their heart. We love you tonight. Help us to love you more in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to these verses before us, we're reminded how the Lord Jesus Christ has just told the disciples that he would be leaving them soon. You may remember this as you remember some of the past sermons. No doubt this news that he was getting ready to leave them was troubling to these disciples, and their heart needed encouragement. Now at this point, the Lord gave them several things to encourage their heart. He told them about, this is the opening six verses, he told them about the place that he was going to prepare for them. Then he gave them his promise that he was coming back to receive them unto himself. And finally, he told them that he was all they needed to make these truths a reality. Now, in the passage before us now, verses 7 to 14, he is still speaking to his disciples to give them instructions and also to give them inspiration during this time of his approaching departure. He's getting ready to leave. Their hearts are troubled. He's continuing to talk to them. And the phrase that jumped out and grabbed my attention was the phrase that I've adopted as the title of my message. It's the phrase, "Believe me." He said it twice. The word "believe" here means have faith in me. It means trust me. It means to entrust yourself to me. In other words, the Lord is telling his disciples to have faith in him, to trust him, and to entrust themselves to him. Now, before we get to the three major things I want to give you tonight that we're just to believe him in, believe me, number one, believe me, number two, believe me, number three. Before I get to that, let me pause here and rejoice in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is trustworthy. What I mean by that is everything he says is true. May I say this to you, and you know this because you're sitting here on a Sunday night, but you need to be reminded of this. Whether we believe him or not, everything he says is the truth. Everything he says. He never lies, and we just need to hear him say, "Believe me. Believe me. Just believe this." The word of God says in Mark 12:14, "And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true." John 1:9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John 8:14, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go." 1 John 5:20, "And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, that we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Revelation 19:11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True." The word of God says in John 14:6 here, Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Everything Jesus Christ says is true. And everything Jesus Christ does is true. Everything Jesus Christ claims is true. You're getting it. He is worthy to be trusted. And I want to give you three things in verses 7. I'm tying myself down to these verses now. I want to give you three things that he said that we hear him saying tonight, believe me in this. Believe me when I say this. Believe me when I tell you this. Let me give you three things he said to believe. Number one tonight, believe me, number one, that I am one with the Father. We see this in verses 7 through 11. I'm not going to read it again for time's sake, but if you want to choose to read it while I'm explaining it to you, you help yourself. I will admit here in verses 7 through 11 that we're treading in deep waters. The Lord Jesus Christ, put yourself in the disciples' place. The Lord Jesus Christ tells the disciples that he was one with the Heavenly Father. And he tells them in verse number 7 that if you have known me, you know him and you have seen him. Wait a minute. The Lord said no man has seen the Father. So what is he talking about here? And at this time, what an amazing statement that he makes to Philip, because Philip speaks up and says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it satisfies us." And notice what he said. He said, "Have I been so long time with you, and you still not know who I am?" Now, friends, there is no way to explain that. There's no way to get to the bottom of it. But what an amazing claim the Lord made here. What an amazing claim, once again, through the book of John. What an amazing claim that he's calling himself God Almighty. One man said, and I quote, "This lovely name for God," talking about the Father, "this lovely name for God," really the Lord's revelation here was really the Lord's revelation, and a wonderfully comforting one it is. See, God is Elohim, the awesome God of creation, but he's not just that. One that's omniscient in his purpose, omnipotent in his power, and omnipresent in his person. That's Elohim. But he's not just that. He's not just Jehovah. He is Jehovah, the God of covenant, the wise and loving, but strict in his requirements God, the one that makes promises and keeps them. Hey, he's Jehovah God, but that's not all he is. He's not just Adonai, the God of command, the sovereign Lord, the owner of the universe who must be obeyed. He is Adonai, that God, but he's not just that God. He's not just Adonai or Elohim or Jehovah. He's also known in the Bible as Father. And this tells us that he's a God of comfort, a God of compassion, a one who has a home and a one who has a family. The Lord used this name for God over and over again. The Heavenly Father is one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Harry Ironside said, "Christ is the exact expression of the Father." Do you say to yourself sometimes, "Oh, I wish I understood God better. I wish I could know just how God the Father looks at things and how he feels about things and what his attitude towards men in general and his people in particular. I wish I could just know who God the Father is." Well, all you need to do is read the four Gospels and get better acquainted with the Lord Jesus Christ. For he has made the Father known in all of his fullness. The better you know Christ, the better you know the Father. Everything in the character of Christ tells out that which is in the heart of God. His love for holiness, His delight for righteousness, His interest in men, even unconverted men, His deep tender affection for His own as evidenced by His love for that little company of disciples who walked with Him 3.5 years, of whom we read, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them unto the end. His sweet, gracious interest in the little children, His love for the little boys and little girls, so that they delighted to come to Him and sit upon His knees. He took them in His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. All of this tells you who God the Father is. You know who God the Father is? The one who lets kids come to Him and sit on His lap. You know who God the Father is? The one who loves holiness and loves His people and will never forsake His people. The one who will spend time with mere human beings and love on them and train them and show His kindness to them. How do we know that? Because God the Father and God the Son are one. And God the Son said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if you know me, you know the Father. Who is the Father? He's walking around in human flesh 2,000 years ago. His full expression was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was the express image of God the Father. We look at His mighty works and we see the power of God. We look at His sinless life and we see the holiness of God. We look at His compassionate concern and we see the love of God. And as we see how Christ lived and loved and acted, we know how God lives and loves and acts. Christ and the Father are one. And let us be content to let it rest there until we see Him face to face in glory. Can somebody fully explain how God the Son and God the Father are one? I can't. And if you say you can, excuse me, you ate something that you shouldn't have eaten. The fact of the matter is, He's God, He's infinite. We can't figure it out, but just rejoice in the fact that some 2,000 years ago, God the Father wrapped Himself in flesh. And as God the Son was walking and talking, what He did and how He loved and how He acted, everything about Jesus Christ, that's who God the Father is. And He's saying this, believe me when I tell you that. Believe me that I am God. To this claim to deity and unity with the Heavenly Father, the Lord simply told them, believe me. However, if they needed something other than His word, now they shouldn't need anything other than His word, right? You and I know that. But if my word's not enough, He goes on to say in verse number 11, or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Now what's He doing here? He's saying this, believe me that what I just said is true. I am one with the Father. God the Father is in me and I am in Him. So much so that when you see me, you see Him. So much so that when you know me, you know Him. Believe me for this. But if you don't believe my word, believe my works. That what I'm telling you is the truth. It's as if the Lord challenged them by saying, if you're not prepared to take my declaration of my oneness with the Father, if there's still a question in your mind, then just look at what I've done. Did any man ever do the works I have done? Has any man ever been able to accomplish what I have accomplished? Be convinced by these works that God the Father's working through me. If any man had touched the leper, he would have been defiled. But when the Lord Jesus touched the leopard and said, be thou clean, His hands weren't defiled, but rather His hands healed leprosy instead of defilement of leprosy cleaving to Him. No mere man ever had power over the tempest. What man could rise from a ship and speak to the wind and waves and say, peace, be still, and they listen to him? No man can do that. No man can take 5 barley loaves, 5 crackers, and 2 sardines, and bow his head and bless it, and say, come get it, boys. And 5,000 men, not including women and children, are stuffed to the gills and have 12 baskets of leftovers. Here's what Jesus is saying. He who's seen the Father has seen me. He that sees me sees the Father. He that knows me knows the Father. I and my Father are one. Show us the Father, Lord, and it sufficeth us. Have I been so long time with you? and you don't know who I am? Put yourself in Philip's shoes. What a statement. And he's saying, believe me that I am in God and God is in me. I am walking. I am deity in flesh. I am the Father walking around showing this world his love, his compassion, his holiness, his righteousness. That's who my Father is. I am God the Father. Believe me. But if you don't believe my word, look at what I've done. I've walked on water. I've raised the dead. I have fed thousands. I am God, and my word proves it, and my works prove it. Believe me. Believe me that I am God. The word of God says in Hebrews 1:1-4, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, get this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, the Father, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Colossians 1:15, Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Number one, believe me that I am one with the Father. Believe me that I really am God and I am the one that you need. Secondly, believe me that greater works shall be done. This is number two. Believe me that greater works shall be done. This is found in verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. By the way, that was fulfilled in the disciples. Read the book of Acts. Look at the mighty miracles that God used those disciples to do. But notice this. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, what in the world is he talking about? What in the world is he talking about here? You mean to tell me that all those works he did, that he's saying here, that he that believeth on me, he will do the same. That's the disciples in the book of Acts. But not just the same, he that believeth me will do greater works than these. Wait a minute. Did I hear that right? Did I hear that right? Did he really mean what he just said? That he's going to let human beings do greater works than he did? Now let me explain this. By the way, ask God to help you understand this, okay? After the Lord made his amazing claim to deity, he went on to say that if you do believe me, you're going to do the same works and even greater than these. We know that these disciples perform mighty miracles. Again, you can read the book of Acts. God willing, in the future, if the Lord allows me to live and gives us time, I'll preach through that book. But I don't know when that's going to be. But notice how the Lord Jesus said that they would do, and here's where I'm emphasizing, they would do greater works than the ones he did. One man put it well, and he said, moreover, the greater works were spiritual in nature. Stay with me here. You know, it's a miracle to open a blind man's eyes, which the Lord did. But it's a greater miracle to open the eyes of his sin-blinded soul so he can see beauty in Jesus. It's a miracle to cleanse a man of leprosy. But it's a greater miracle to change a sinner so that he becomes pure in heart and life. It's a miracle to make a deaf man hear. It's a greater miracle to speak so that a person deaf to the gospel hears and heeds the message. It's a miracle to raise someone from the dead. But it's a greater miracle to bring eternal life to someone dead in trespasses and sin. Stay with me here. The point here is the Lord told these disciples that they would do greater works than those he did. This is a side note. But what humility of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he would allow his servants more success on planet Earth than he had. In the body now. Now he's going to work through the universe. I'm talking about walking in the flesh. Let me give you a good example of the greater works. Are you ready for it? The Apostle Peter. When did the Lord speak to a crowd and 3,000 were saved? Did the Lord do great things? Absolutely. But he wanted these disciples to know that if they'll just believe in him, he'll do greater things through them than what they saw him do. There's greater things than feeding a man's stomach. It's feeding a man's soul. There's greater things than delivering a man's body. It's delivering a man's soul and spirit. When he preached Peter, 3,000 souls were saved at one side at one time. Harry Ironside said, and I quote, "When you realize that when Jesus left this scene, committing his gospel to a little group of 11 men in order that they might carry it to the ends of the earth, when he did that, at that time the whole world, with the exception of a few in Israel, was lost and in darkness and heathenism." Get this. When the Lord left, and he's like, "Peace I give to you," and all this, and "You should be witnesses unto me," and all those, you understand, right? When he gave this gospel message to the 11, when he gave it to them, most people in that place were lost. They were in heathen darkness. But in 300 years, Christianity closed nearly all the temples of the heathen Roman Empire and numbered its converts by the millions. In 300 years. These were the greater works. And down through the century, he still carries on this ministry. Let me ask you a question. Are you involved in the greater works of God through men? Are you giving your life to the greater works of God delivering the message of salvation to a lost and a dying world? I'm convinced that what the Lord was talking about here was not physical in nature. I'm convinced he's talking about spiritual things. I'm convinced he's saying, "I've done great things. But if you believe in me, you'll do the same what he did." You see what I'm saying? "And greater works than these." Which means he's talking about something different. Something greater than miracles. Something greater than feeding thousands. What is greater than delivering the message of salvation to somebody and watching them trust Christ as their Lord and Savior? There is nothing greater than that. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And the person of the Holy Spirit of God, he comes to indwell in our hearts. And now he's doing greater works than he did when he was on planet Earth. What he's doing now is he's delivering spiritual lepers. He's feeding the spiritual hungry. He's delivering the spiritually blind. The greater works. The great preacher, Dr. Talmage, tells a story about his grandparents. These people had several worldly children. Dr. Talmage, mom and dad, his grandparents. These people had several worldly children. These children would go to a dance when their parents would go to church. This is Dr. Talmage's, his father-to-be is one of the children, one of these worldlings, who's going to a dance while his mom and daddy are going to church. But there was a man who came to preach in that community. Maybe you've heard his name, Charles Finney. What a mighty man of God. This couple heard him and made a covenant with God and each other that they would pray until their children found Christ. One night when the children were leaving for a dance, the mother said, and I quote, "While you're at the dance, we want you to remember that we will be at home on our knees praying for your salvation." These young people didn't enjoy the party much as they remembered what their mother said. And the next day, the the parents heard a cry from their daughter's room, not knowing what it was, because it was just like a loud cry. They rushed in and they found their daughter on her knees crying out to God to save her soul. She said, "Mama, Elijah and David," that's the two brothers, "are out in the barn and they're under deep conviction." The parents went out and found their two sons on their knees praying for God to save them. And God did save those three children, those worldlings, those ones that would go to the dance instead of going to church with their parents. And on the next Sunday, get this, on the next revival broke out under Charles Finney, I guess. And on the next Sunday, 250 people joined the church. What do we do if 250 people join this church in one Sunday? 250 people joined the church. A revival broke out all over the part of the state. And one of those two boys that was saved was Dr. Talmadge's father. And this story, who tells this story, says that one of those boys who was saved in the Talmadge home became the father of one of the greatest preachers America's ever known. I'm convinced that's the greater works Jesus was talking about. Are you part of them? Are you allowing Him to do greater works through you? Believe me, what, Lord? That I am one with the Father. Believe me, what, Lord? That greater works shall be done. Believe me, what, Lord? Number three, that I will do whatever you ask in my name. This is found in verses 13 and 14. The final thing we see the Lord saying to the disciples that day is His commitment to do whatever, doesn't matter what it is, whatever they asked, here's the key phrase, in His name. Now remember, the Lord had told them He's getting ready to leave them, and He's going to prepare a place for them. It's as if here He's comforting their hearts by telling them, and even though I'm leaving you, you can still fellowship with me. You can still talk to me. Just talk to me, because I will listen. And He wanted them to know that they could talk with Him and He would give them whatever they ask, as long as it was in His name. Now listen to me. That doesn't mean at the end of your prayer, you just pray whatever you want, say, in Jesus' name, claim it, He's going to give it to you. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's ridiculous. That is not what He's teaching. Let me help you here. A superficial person may get the wrong idea here. His eyes may light up with greed, and he'll say, "Hallelujah, here's where I get anything I want. I'll ask Him for two Cadillacs, for a new house, and for enough stocks and bonds to give me a big income." But the thinking Christian will see that answered prayer is predicated on two phrases in these verses. We must pray in His name. And notice in verses 13 and 14, I think it's verse 13, where He says, "that my Father may be glorified in me." In other words, if our prayers are truly in His name and for His glory, His answer is yes. Did you hear what I just said? Now we pray, when we pray in His name, we must pray even as Christ would pray. That means in His name. We must be sure that we're asking for something not to be used for our own glory, but that God may be glorified. Now suppose with me here tonight that you pray for health, and God intends for you to remain an invalid. Has He not answered your prayer? The answer is yes. But instead of healing you, He's simply saying, "You're my child and I love you, and I'm doing what's best for you, and I want you to be sick right now." Why does He do things like that? Let's not try to put God in a box, okay? But let's say one reason we know He does things like that is for His own glory. You may not understand now, but you will. You will, if you're God's child. I like how Oliver Green put it. He said to pray in the name of Jesus means to pray for the things that will bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ and to God the Father. When we pray in His will, we pray for the things He would pray for. Get that? That's vitally important. We seek the things He would seek, and in our prayer life, we honor and glorify the things He would honor and glorify. One man put it this way, prayer in the name of Jesus must be in accord with the Lord's changeless purpose of bringing glory to the Father, that not of our own comfort and convenience must be the object of prayer offered in His name. It is useless to offer a prayer full of self-will, add the formula in Christ's name, and expect the Lord to respond affirmatively to it. Get this. To pray in His name means that that's exactly what He's going to pray for you. Do you get it? See, He intercedes for us. And when we go to Him, our prayer life should be, Thy will be done, dear Lord. For instance, if you have a sickness, you pray, Thy will be done. Nothing wrong with praying. Would you heal me? Would you touch my body and heal my body so I can go forward and give you the glory and praise and honor? Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. That's what the Lord would pray, because that's what He did pray. You see what I'm saying? See, if you go to God asking for something and God knows that that's not going to help you or that's not the best for you, and the Lord would not ask that for you, then He in love says no. You got it? But when He says no, that's an answer, right? But here's the point tonight. Believe Him when He says, anything you ask in My name, I will do it. I will do it. John R. Rice put it this way. Someone says, but I love to honor the Lord Jesus. Yes, but you would not honor me, for example, by forging my name to checks and getting things you were not authorized to get with my money. He said, a lawyer once forged the signature of my father. This is John R. Rice speaking. A lawyer once forged the signature of my father when he was sick and had a legal instrument to give him the power of attorney. On my father's forged signature, he sold an expensive bit of property and took the money. That was crooked, and he went to the state penitentiary for it. Here's the point. When we truly ask in the name of Christ, He is the one doing the asking. Do you understand what I just said? That means whatever you ask for, if He agrees with it and He goes to God with it, His answer is going to be yes from His Heavenly Father. So let me ask you a question. How do you pray? To pray in Christ's name is to seek what He seeks, promote what's on His heart. John R. Rice said in reference to this kind of prayer, he said this, Jesus wants this, and I'm simply asking it for Jesus. See, anytime you can go to Jesus and say, I know You want this. This is Your will. Would You grant it? Then claim it. He's promised to answer that prayer. He's promised. See, we get in trouble when we go to God with things that we don't know if it's His will to answer or not. And then if He says no, we just get all flustered. Oh, He didn't answer my prayer. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Because He always answers with what is best. And that's why we need to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. When we pray like this, in the name of Christ, for His purposes, on the basis of His merits and for His glory, we need to believe the Lord that He truly hears and answers prayer in His name. The Life Application Study Bible says, we must remember that our asking must be in His name. That is according to God's character and will. God will not grant requests contrary to His nature and His will. And we cannot use His name as a magic formula to fulfill our selfish desires. If we are sincerely following God and seeking to do His will, then let our requests be in line with what He wants, with what He desires, and He's promised to grant them. Now, you help me. What is something right now that you know without a doubt it is the will of God? What is it? You help me. For people to be saved, right? Is that the will of God? Yes. Now, is He going to force Himself on people? Does He violate Scripture to do it? No. But if we pray, dear Lord, Help us knock every door in our city. Does God want to answer that prayer? How does He answer it? By burdening your heart and my heart, and we go out and shake the bushes and get it done. See, what I'm saying to you is this. Our prayer life is put under a spiritual microscope here. The Lord said, whatever you ask, in my name I'll do it. In my name I'll do it. In my name I'll do it. Let me ask you a question. No doubt you are burdened about something in your life and you're praying for God to hear and answer your prayer. Think about that right now. What is it? Don't say it out loud. Just think about it right now. What are you praying for in your life? Now I want to ask you a question. Can you pray it in the name of Jesus? Is Jesus praying that same prayer for you? A lot of prayers we have to honestly answer, I don't know, right? Like, is it God's will for him to heal her? Is it God's will for me to have that job? I mean, you understand what I'm saying to you? But there are times when we can pray with authority, I know this is the will of God. And Lord, I'm coming to you and asking you to answer this because you promised you would. And hold on to God until he comes through. And he will come through because he's trustworthy and you can believe him. Now with these other prayers that you're not sure, here's how to pray. Lord, would you please do this? But God, give me the faith to understand that if that's not your will to say yes, help me to understand that you're doing something for your glory. And most of all, whether you heal or whether you don't, may you receive glory through this. And may we say this, Lord, if you will answer this prayer and you will touch this or you will do this, I give you my word, I'll give you the glory for it. There's nothing wrong with praying like that. But don't be tripped up if he comes back with no. Why? Because he knows best. And he's at work in our lives. Three things that the Lord said, believe me in. Number one, believe me that I am one with the Heavenly Father. I am so unified that when you hear me, you hear him. When you know me, you know him. When you see me, you see him. Believe me in this. Believe me that greater works will be done than the ones I did on planet Earth. I want to do greater things through you. Will you let me? Believe me in this. Believe me in this. That whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. I will do it. So let me encourage you tonight. If you are praying in the name of Jesus Christ and the answer has not come, persevere, Christian. Hold on tight, beloved. And believe God. Because he says, I will do whatever you ask in my name. And may the Lord help us with this. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness. And I pray that you'll touch these messages. Would you speak to our heart? Challenge us from the word of God. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody who may be here who's never trusted Christ the opportunity to trust the Lord as their personal Savior. I don't know your heart. And because of that, I want to give you an opportunity to be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ, you were not born again, and why don't you come in just a moment? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. You're among friends. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, a couple with a couple, and we'll help you and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Make today the greatest day of your life by becoming a born-again child of God. Or maybe tonight, as they begin to play through softly, God is speaking to you about some things. I want to dwell on a couple of things here. I just want to simply just mention again that Jesus is God. And he's once again emphasized it here in this passage. But the two things I want to talk to you about and emphasize here are the greater works and your prayer life. I wonder tonight, are you involved in the greater works of God? Are you telling the gospel to others? Are you inviting people to church? Are you giving gospel tracts out and trying to win people to Christ? If not, get involved in the greater works of God. And tonight I want to ask you this question. How many of you are praying for something very specific in your life? There's something specifically that you're praying for. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. I hope your hands are going up because you need to be praying specifically for things. Yes, you can put your hands down. I want you to be encouraged with this thought tonight. And the thought is this. Is that specifically what I'm praying for? Is it truly in the name of Jesus Christ? Is it with His authority? Is it with His purpose and His glory? And is He praying the same thing that I'm asking Him for? It's as if you ask Jesus and Jesus turns around and asks the Father the same thing. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's in His name. He agrees with it. He wants it. He desires it for you. We need to ask ourselves, is that what we're praying for? Have you say, Jody, I know I'm praying for something like that. I know I'm praying for something that is God's will. It is God's will. I know it because it's in the Word of God. God has said in His Word that this is His will to answer this prayer. You know that it's in the name of Christ. How many of you are praying a prayer that you know it's in the name of Christ? Would you raise your hand? You know it is. Okay, if your hands are raised, and that's a lot of you, claim it. Claim it. Now, notice He didn't say, I will do it today. He did not say, I'll do it next month. He just simply said, I'll do it. He doesn't put a timetable on it. You just keep praying and believing God for it. But let's ask another question. How many of you are praying for something that you're not sure if it's God's will to answer with a yes? You know God wants you to pray about it, but you're just not sure if He's praying the exact thing you are. Be honest. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Yes, that's a lot of you. I raise my hand in the air with you on that one because praying for our baby girl that as she sees the neurologist that there's nothing bad wrong, that we get good news, not bad news. That's what we're praying. Do we know that that's God's will? No. But we're praying for that. But in the midst of it, we want to be sensitive to the Lord and say, God, Thy will be done. We trust You for the right answer. You got it. This is it. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Maybe you want to come and talk to God about it again. Father, take this thought and use it. Help us to believe You, just to believe You, to trust You, to know that You are true and You always tell the truth. Help us to trust You and have faith in God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, if you want to come and talk to God, you do it now. Would you do it?
Have faith in God.
That's it. That's the message tonight. Have faith in God. Just believe Him. That's what He said. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me. Believe me.
Must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in
God. Let's sing that again, Brother Gary. Nobody else comes. This will be it. Let's sing it together.
Have faith in God. He's on His throne.
That's the message tonight.
Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God.
We're going to close in prayer, and I'd like to ask. Like to ask Brother Bob Mann if he wouldn't mind. I'm going to have you come up here, Brother Bob. And I want you to pray specifically in as our closing prayer tonight that this will be a church that when the Lord says, believe me, we're going to believe Him. That we just have faith in God. And we do what he says to do, believe what he says, take him at his word, and go forward for the glory of God. As Brother Bob prays, I want you to pray there and ask God to help us with this.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this message that we've heard. Lord, we're thankful that we can believe you. We can trust you. And Lord, we're praying that you'll do great and mighty things in our church. Father, we're calling unto you. We know that you've promised to answer us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to do more this year than we've ever done before for you. God, help us to grow closer to you. And again, as Pastor said, help us to believe you, to trust you, to lean solely upon you. And Lord, I pray to you again, just bless our church, bless our lives individually, and help us to be bold witnesses for you this week, we pray. We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here. Okay.